Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I am your host, Paul Marks. We have a great show with wonderful guests who are experts on today's topic. So you own or manage multifamily properties, and with all the technology that's available today, how do you communicate with your residents and your team? With this in mind, our topic today is effective ways to communicate with your residents and your team. Joining me in the studio are longtime multifamily industry veterans, Stephanie Graves, co-founder and CEO of Q10 Property Advisors, and Nina Kirtley, Regional Vice President of Operations for American Realty Advisors. Thank you, ladies, for joining in today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, it's kind of a broad topic, but, technology is something that that has changed a lot of things, a lot of industries, but multifamily especially, when it comes to marketing a property as well, but communicating with residents. Let's kind of recap, 30 years ago, not that either of you were in the industry at that time, but how would management team on site communicate with residents? What was the typical way?
Well, I think we heard about, we didn't do it, of course, but, when I first joined the industry, when anything would happen on your property, you would quickly type up something and make sure you got a notice and put it on everybody's door or door hanger, put it in the laundry room, on your office door, and then just hope and pray everyone got to see it. Mm-hmm. And so obviously things have changed over the last 20 years. Certainly in the last 5 years, I think we've seen a huge impact on technology on notifying our residents. So we've pushed as much as we can through the technology realm. Text messaging is huge, email communication, but then, that also poses some struggles.
Yeah, and I guess you have, back in those days, and even if people are still doing that today, when you have a property that's 300 units or whatever, it takes some time and takes some staff away from what they're normally doing to have to deal with that.
Sure. Yeah. Certainly three-story properties are an issue, aren't they? Nice thighs for the leasing agents.
And I think back in the day, they used to have a lot of resident functions. And I know right when I started, we won't say when, but it seemed like once a week we were doing some type of resident event. It could be from a crime meeting to get to know your neighbors. And so that was always a good way. They pulling in the residents together so they can meet each other and watch each other's apartment and things like that.
Yeah. And I think those have become probably less frequent, maybe once a month now, just because everyone's busy schedule. And that's another reason I think where most of us try to do things electronically. Most of the softwares that are out there provide some sort of text messaging capability. We use that, but then there's also some legal ramifications to that as well, that they have to opt in or opt out. And so, what do you do when you have a resident that opts out of those notifications, and how frequently can you do them? Yeah, is a struggle. And then there's also legal notifications that you must send out in paper format. Any sort of legal notice to vacate or anything about their rent or renewal, you also have to produce that in a paper format and either mail it or post it on the inside of the door or outside of the door, make sure an adult gets it. It's complicated to make sure all of your I's are dotted and your T's are crossed, certainly.
And they are also now on certain, mostly evictions, but you're having to actually do certified mail, because a lot of times people are saying, I didn't get it on my door, or you didn't put it inside my apartment. So they are requiring certified to where we know for sure that they received the note.
And I guess the... you also have a certain generation of residents who maybe aren't as familiar with the technology.
Absolutely.
So you've got to still cater to whatever their needs are to be able to communicate effectively.
Yeah, it's hard to believe, but we do have some residents on our properties that don't have smartphones. They mm-hmm. still have flip phones. And so any technology that we roll out, either whether it's notification or a gate access system or any sort of notification that we send out, we kind of have to double up on those efforts to make sure that we're notifying them of what's happening and what's going on in the property. But, you know, there's basic notifications of, hey, the gates are going to be worked on, or we're doing parking painting or something. And then there's those notifications that kind of affect their quality of living, mm-hmm. And their quality of life. And then there's those notifications that are legal or that involve rental payments or renewal notices. So figuring out the requirements and the easiest way and yet thorough way to communicate with your residents is very important. Also making sure that you have support and backup, that they actually received the communication and the notification. We get that frequently, like with towing is a great example. The easiest way to make your residents mad is to tow their vehicle. Mm-hmm. And so how do we notify them of that? You know, that's kind of a paper notification. We tag their car and hopefully they see it. But if they don't, there's no other notification that we have to deliver.
Mm-hmm. And nowadays, the tow companies, they're getting up to speed with the technology. This one tow company that I'm using, they have an app. And it is outstanding because it takes management out of the equation. If, say, apartment 101, they had their car towed, the resident, they can go on go within the app and they can find out if it was towed because their inspection stickers were outdated, or most of the time it's their parking in somebody else's paid for spot, or they're parked in a red zone. So the app has really helped a lot, and it's time stamped and dated to where we are taken out of the legal part of it.
Yeah, that's very helpful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I guess when you're dealing with life, you know, quality of life notifications or communication, how do you see today is the best way to do that? Or I'm sure it would be different, as we said, from resident to resident based on what they're capable of accepting. Mm-hmm. But what's the trend that most people are trying to do to be efficient, but also to make it as easy on their staff as possible?
I think it's gotten harder for the on-site teams. I mean, with technology, you think that it would become easier, but I think it's become harder because there's more excuse as to why they didn't get a notification. Mm. So we send everything out electronically. A good example is we had a property that was closed because of the fires that are happening in Pasadena. The air quality was poor. We were going to, you know, the stuff was going to pass by directly over. And so we made a decision that we would close that property and have maintenance not there for that day. And so we sent out a text message to everybody on the property notifying that the office was going to be closed for a certain amount of time. We posted it on the Facebook account that the office was going to be closed, but they would be available for emergencies. Then we sent an email out to all the residents to notify them that they were going to be closed. And then we put a notice on the door of the office and a notice on the door of, you know, of the community center. So now, instead of just taking one notice, printing it, and putting on 200 doors, we're making sure that we post it everywhere possible, email it, send it to every electronic means possible, so that we can kind of guarantee that if we throw it out on enough media, then maybe it'll be caught by someone. And so that kind of is the case, I think, with most things that we do, resident events too.
Yes. So, you know, posting, like we had kind of the same situation with a water. The water was going to be out for 2 days, which was really bad.
Yeah, big deal.
So we had to do the same thing. We had to go on Facebook. We had to constantly update it so that it stayed fresh. We had to go on Twitter. We had to constantly keep refreshing it. You know, along with what Stephanie was saying is, you know, the text messaging. And there are still some that say they opt out, that they do not want to receive notifications. And let's say that they're not on Facebook or Twitter. So those, they could miss the communication. So it's just, it's a constant reminder, and it's constantly your team is, you know, they're jumping.
Trying different ways. Yeah. Different ways. And it's not just like, I think the burden of responsibility sometimes is shifted to the on-site management instead of the resident's responsibility to take care of themselves. It's almost the office's responsibility to make sure that you send out as many notices as possible. I think it's interesting to think about the rental delinquency rent issue, where we're having to post it on the inside of the unit, we're having to send it in the mail, and, you know, it seems kind of silly to me that, you know, if you live in an apartment, at some point you're going to have to pay your rent. And if you have not done that, you would think that at some point you would understand that you're late and maybe there's some ramifications for that. So I think kind of legislatively they've put some things in effect that put the burden of responsibility on the ownership rather than on the individual to make sure that they're holding up their end of their responsibility. Good or bad, I think that's the case with most things.
Yeah.
It's easier to regulate those that are responsible for collecting the money rather than those that are responsible for paying the money in some instances.
And then sometimes they can turn it around and blame us for, you know, you didn't notify me, which is not the office's, it's not their following procedure and the TAA lease contract. But most of the time it's those that cannot pay their rent.
Yeah.
Saying, oh, I didn't get my 3-day notice to vacate, or I didn't know that eviction was filed.
Right.
So at that point, which eviction filing, you know, that's a whole another topic of communicating, which we don't have to communicate that we filed eviction, but I feel that we do need to.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back with more of this topic right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen & Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we're back and you're listening to Multifamily Matters. And today we're discussing the topic, effective ways to communicate with your residents and your team. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me in the studio are longtime multifamily industry veteran Stephanie Graves, co-founder and CEO of Q10 Property Advisors, and Nina Kirtley, Regional Vice President of Operations with American Realty Investors. Before we jump back into the discussion, I do want to remind our listeners that if you'd like to provide show topics, guest ideas, or suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, you can go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. We were talking during the break a little bit about, we touched on it in the last segment, and then we're discussing eviction and the kind of communication that has to occur to meet the requirements. I would imagine that are regulated on our industry. Stephanie, you kind of gave an example of a situation where you have a property where you have a lot of late payers.
Sure.
Tell our listeners about that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. We manage properties from, you know, A to C. So, you know, all different demographics. And, you know, I don't really see a pattern. I think it's just, it kind of hit or miss. Some properties are just late payers more than others. But we have a 276, 200, a 300 unit property. And late is considered due on the first for us. And this varies. So make sure that, you know, you're kind of checking your lease if you own property. Rent is due on the first, but we don't start assessing late fees until the fourth of the month. So the third, it's late. On the fourth, you get your first fee. So 3-day period to pay your rent before you're late. So we don't wait, and we wait and we send out any notices on that fourth day. So the rent is late. On the morning of the fourth, we'll come in and we'll go through all of our paperwork and figure out who has not paid their rent. We're required to give them a notice of, we're required to give them some sort of notice. We give them a notice that says your rent is late. This is your 3-day notice to vacate. If rent is not paid within 3 days, then we will proceed with eviction or whatever those next steps are. So of that 300 unit property, on average, we have about 150 residents that are late. And that involves any sort of late. Maybe they think they can pay half or they paid something. So if you owe anything on that morning of the fourth, you will be getting a notice. And legally, we're required to take those notices and post them inside of someone's door. That means we have to pull 150 keys, mm-hmm. all different keys, obviously, for safety reasons, pull 150 keys, print out the notices, get them, and open up every door with a dog, not a dog, with a person, not a person, and either deliver it to an adult or post it on the inside of that door. Mm. And so, and it's, as Nina mentioned, it's a management member that has to do that, not necessarily a maintenance person or anyone else. So when you think about the time frame and the time involved in doing that, the workload, the people that are involved, you know, all of that adds up to the price and the cost it is to operate an asset. Mm-hmm. And so when you're communicating with your residents, sometimes there's that balance between what's legally required and what makes sense from an operational standpoint. And that certainly puts a burden on the team. And then if it's not paid, then you have to, you know, the next processes, and that doesn't include small balances. Maybe someone right. just owes you $50 and they decide they're not going to pay till the 20th. And I, as a supervisor, am calling that property every week to say, why isn't $50 paid? Why isn't $50 paid? So they're calling, they're emailing, and then obviously putting on notices throughout the month. Mm-hmm. So workload.
And a lot of times when it has to do with evictions, that is, you can text them, you can send them an email. However, everything legally has to be done by paper, by documentation. And a lot of times it, you know, needs to be done by certified mail. Mm-hmm. And that will guarantee that there's maybe a signature. It just depends on what the lease contract, what the requirements of them are. Mm-hmm. But you can, you know, daily text them, email them, because you have some residents that are going to reply to the letter, and then you're going to have some that do not, and the ones that do not are going to be the ones that come back at you, and because they're about to be under eviction, and they're the ones that saying, I didn't get notification. And so, and then there's, say, somebody opt out from getting a text message or an email because they were sick of getting,
yes.
you know, happy hours done today. Well, and that right there is the purpose of putting the notice inside the apartment, because that is a guarantee that it, because that's what the judge will require.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so when it moves into eviction, is there a standard that's required in the industry for how long that takes, or does it vary from a property policy to a property's policy when someone gets into eviction?
Yeah, policy. It's you know, obviously after you give the 3-day notice, once the 3 days pass, then you can file eviction at any point after that. Mm-hmm. You know, during that same monthly period if they haven't paid. However, some, you know, a resident comes in and tells a sad story or whatever that is. It kind of depends on company to company. Are you guys pretty much sticklers on your process or?
Yes. You know, all the properties are pretty much the same within the portfolio. However, you're going to, you know, every property demographic is going to be different. And it sure. could be one of my A assets to a B or a C. You know, we want our managers by the 10th to file eviction on anybody that has not paid, especially the ones that we, you know, that we have a constant battle with every month. And a lot of the properties, they want to do something called an eviction hold off, which I'm not a big fan of it, because
consistency is the issue. I mean, certainly, obviously, they follow a really consistent plan where they treat everyone equally and they perform the duties in the same time frame necessary. But, you know, then that becomes an issue with timing and the amount you have to do.
Yes. And then it goes into fair housing. You have to be consistent with everybody. So, you know, I would probably say filing evictions on the 15th. I don't know what the industry standard is. It just is, it's a per management company, general rule of a date of when to file evictions.
Yeah, it's notifications are certainly, and communicating that process with them it's a tough situation. It's a big burden in terms of manpower. And that's just that's just one aspect, right? That's just the ones that are paying late. That's right. Not necessarily everything else we have to notify them of, which are those day-to-day challenges that may happen. Someone's coming in your apartment or there's pest control so certainly communicating with residents on a day-to-day basis poses a challenge. You talked about opting out of electronic transmissions and, if there's a natural disaster, that's
right.
Another thing, communicating with your residents in that format of a natural disaster is interesting. Are cell phones available? Are they not available? What are we required to tell people, and what do we have a responsibility to tell people? The apartment industry and living in an apartment is certainly an interesting communication method, because your mortgage realtor, mortgage person, when you hold a mortgage, doesn't necessarily call you and tell you that there's a hurricane coming,
right,
and you should protect your asset, right?
Right.
But as property management owners, we're sort of responsible for saying, hey, by the way, take shelter or whatever. And I think a lot of apartment dwellers rely on that owner to tell you those things when that isn't necessarily the case in other living quarters.
Yeah.
And, and sometimes, which, might be a little outdated, but a lot of communities do it, you have bandit signs that you put out at your entrance gate.
That's
Don't forget,
a good point.
Rent is due, or the pool is going to be closed this week due to shocking the pool. So the bandit signs are equally as good as, say, a text message.
Yeah.
Because, as soon as they drive into the gate or when they drive out of the property.
Yeah, it's a good reminder. We have an A-frame that we put up on,
yes,
different days if things are due. Yeah, that's a good reminder. That's another method,
right,
that we use. And posting it by the mailbox, you hope everybody gets mail.
Right.
But when everything comes electronically, is that the case too, right? that this making our lives easier has certainly become a little bit more complicated. And I think there's multiple properties that only do written communication still. You know what I mean? Everything still comes out in a written form and they don't use text messaging. They don't have the capability to do it.
Right.
And at the end of the day, it all boils down to customer service. Are you taking care of your residents? Are you informing them? And do they feel like you're providing excellent customer service? And that's why we're here, is to provide excellent customer service.
Mm-hmm.
We got a couple of minutes left in this segment, but I wanted to ask you, because when you brought up the fact that sometimes you get a sad story from somebody, why their rent is late or they haven't been able to pay their rent. We had a guest on the show right during the government shutdown, and he indicated that he had several of the properties that he managed where Coast Guard members were there, and they brought in letters from the Coast Guard saying, please, work with this person. He's going to get his pay eventually, but we're in the midst of this government shutdown. Were you all affected by that at all? Did you have any instances with that?
We were not.
Yes, we had several that said that they were affected and could bring in documentation, and others that said that they were affected and could not bring in documentation. And so sometimes you begin to manage to those exceptions,
mm-hmm,
and it's unfortunate, but there are people that kind of take advantage of the systems,
yeah,
or take advantage of situations. And so, as property managers, it's always a balance between being fair to your residents, to make sure that you are empathetic and that you're fair and you see their side of the story, and understanding that there are a portion that may not be fully transparent in what's really occurring in their lives and kind of taking advantage of a situation. And also there's government regulations that we have to abide by. So it's a balance, isn't it?
Yes.
Between
yes,
customer yes. service and between being empathetic and between doing the right thing and not getting taken advantage of.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're gonna take a break and be back with our third segment of Multifamily Matters. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management.
Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogix professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogix at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen & Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rossa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rossa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rossa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rossafloors.com.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters. We're discussing the topic, effective ways to communicate with your residents and your team. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me in the studio are longtime multifamily industry veteran Stephanie Graves, co-founder and CEO of Q10 Property Advisors, and Nina Kirtley, Regional Vice President of Operations with American Realty Investors. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. Econserve, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rossa Floors, the professional flooring advisor specializing in make-ready replacement flooring for the multifamily industry throughout Texas and Oklahoma. WaterLogix, the smarter way to water, providing professional irrigation water management. And Ted W. Allen & Associates, specializing in multifamily habitational insurance since 1967. So we've talked about communications with residents, but there's also communicating with your on-site teams, and how do you do it? You know, what instances do you have? I do have a question, though, that I want to ask before we jump right into that. It has to do with the teams, and that is, there is a certain amount of turnover in your staff that you have throughout the multifamily industry. So when you've got exceptions and things about communicating with these residents, and there were some people have opted out, so you got to make sure that you can communicate. What's the best way for a management company to be able to create a consistency? Is there a way to do that with when they do have turnover, or is it something that just comes up when it's missed?
Lord Almighty, I just don't even know. Right? I mean,
we don't have all day to talk about this.
This is only a 10-minute session, but it's huge. Yeah, I mean, the battles, we face battles every day on communication. I mean, communication in general, I think, is a struggle that most industries deal with. And how do you tell people things in a consistent manner? How do you make sure they understand it? It's a struggle. And with multifamily, I think it's even more of a struggle. You know, we have 20 properties at 20 locations all over Houston. And I'm a small management company. You know what I mean? If there's ones that have 50 and 60, I don't even know how the big people do it. So, you know, we're small enough that we can call a meeting and handle things most of the time, but then you're taking people off property. So it's like you're closing an office. So think about what that's like for a 7-Eleven, right? Mm-hmm. You want to have a meeting and you got to close the 7-Eleven to have a meeting with everyone. So yes, it's a battle. We constantly are looking for new ways to do that. Technology has helped us a great deal. But, you know, we kind of have a 3-prong approach. When we roll out a new policy or when we have, there's two questions, I guess. One is, how do you communicate basic stuff? And the others is property specific information. When you're completely turning over your staff and you have a new manager, how do you notify them of all those exceptions? We try to keep things. Some of them we miss. I mean, I'm just going to be quite honest. I think we all do
with that. But it's a lot of times it's a part of your training process. A lot of companies, they have new hire orientations, and there's a lot that do not. And mm-hmm. I think doing more communication with your on-site teams, I mean, that's key, so that they can, you know, it starts from the regional supervisor to the property manager and then to, you know, the assistant manager. So it's kind of a, and it's also a part of teamwork. Mm-hmm. Everybody has to be on the same page. So let's say that you have five different social media points that you have to hit every single morning by 10 o'clock, from it being update your Facebook, your Twitter, your Craigslist. But, you know, if one particular team member doesn't, you know, forgets to do it, or there's an emergency, well, the next chain of command should pick up and make sure that it's completed, because it's a part of the policy.
Yeah, it's a struggle. I mean, certainly whenever we have turnover on a property, it happens every time. We'll have we had a resident that posted on social media that they wanted out of their lease because this manager was the worst ever. So I call the staff and I ask, you know, what happened? And she said, well, apparently she had an agreement with the previous manager that we were going to accept all of her packages at her door, you know, that we don't necessarily accept packages on this property because it's small. And it's, you know, difficult and complicated. So she said, well, she had an agreement with the previous manager that this manager would accept all of her packages, and that was their agreement, and I didn't know about this agreement. And so, you know, making sure that is communicated, whether it's a violation of policy or whatever, is difficult. We're just now switching. It's interesting. This is timely. We're just switching on our company to a Microsoft Teams platform. Mm-hmm. So that everybody's kind of online. It's kind of like a Facebook for team for business, if you will, so that everybody's available and online, and we have cameras and audio at every single property, so we can just dial in quickly. We can hold a team meeting where we can see everyone. And then when we send an email that involves something with the property, like a fire inspection, it goes into a team folder, so that instead of an email that may be archived, you have everything related to that string of emails into infinity. So if there is a fire inspection in 2 years, we can go back to that fire inspection email strand in Teams and realize, oh, this is what happened. We did hire this company to do this. But that's only as good as the data that goes in, right? So it's a struggle. We have on-site meetings where we go to every single property and tell them about things. But, you know, we've been in business for 3 years, and I still have times when I'll have an owner or someone go on property and ask about a policy, like, what's your collections policy? And I would have told that manager, they've read it, they've seen it, they've lived it, and they'll say, well, what collections policy? And the owner will say, well, you know, the collections policy where if people are having a hard time, da da da. Oh, I don't think I know about that. And then you're like, what do you mean you don't know about that? So in my car, I actually have some printed material on the top three things that we've been missing on property that I've laminated and posted and will post on the board. And, you know, it sometimes it's creating a visual that they can't forget.
Yeah.
And it's a reminder.
Yes.
You know, that particular team member you have, she very well could know it, but it kind of put her on the spot, and yes, she maybe forgot because she was so busy with, say, having to walk 100 apartments that day with the owner, and she was nervous. Because I find that a lot, where they're like, you didn't tell me that. Well, I need you to go into Dropbox, and I need you to go to the last manager's meeting that we have. They go and they pull up the manager meeting notes, because we always make sure that we document everything that we discuss and talk about, especially if it's a new policy. And then they're like, oh, yes.
Oh, that one.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, that one. Oh, you mean the policy, not the practice. Oh, I didn't even know. That's what I was thinking about.
And, you know, the property managers, they really have a lot, you know, they have a lot of responsibility. And, you know, we're not all perfect. We like to think we are. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of goes back to communicating. And, you know, we have Dropbox, and it's, I still go in there all the time just to make sure that everything is fresh and there's nothing that's like an old policy that needs to be removed, to where we need to add in, say, the new policy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's important for the team members to, you know, to read the old notes and messages.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, I think, you know, we talked about the differences in how it's become kind of a burden on the resident side on multiple ways to communicate. But I think on the property manager side, too, I find myself frequently, if I have a quick question for my manager, text messaging and asking, hey, did you walk this unit, da da da, which seems OK in the moment and that you're doing it. But the you know, the bad part about that is if it becomes a disciplinary issue at another point in time where you're like, hey, I've told you to do this 10 times and you didn't do it, then you're finding text messages of the times that you asked her to do it and she said okay, and you're using that to support the fact that you need to terminate. And so you're looking at emails and communication and text, and you know, some, I have some residents sometimes that Facebook me, right? Like send me a message on Facebook. And so there's so many avenues that we're communicating with people. It's so easy to send out information, but to make sure that you're doing it consistently and having that as backup when necessary, certainly on the employee side, is a struggle.
Yeah, because a lot of, and I do the same thing, you know, it could be, you know, 12 o'clock in the afternoon. It could be 12 o'clock at, you know, in the morning. Mm-hmm. Because I know that property manager stays up late, right. And I know that she'll reply to me. But it's sometimes we do talk about HR things, or, you know, say, you know, is your lead maintenance, are you terminating him today? And with the communication and the technology, everything, and I preach this, document, document, document. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times what I'll do is if I'm talking about something through a text message that is time sensitive or it's an HR related type message, I will save that message or take a snapshot of that screen. I will email it to the manager and say, as a follow up, here is our notes from our conversation.
Yeah. So, I mean, think about that, right? So if you have to do that every single time, so you're communicating and then you're reiterating the communication of the communication that you had, right? So it's supposed to be easier, but in fact, it becomes, you know,
time consuming.
Yes. Yeah, very time consuming. Because then that one time that you maybe didn't do it, or that you sent it and didn't get a response. So what happens if you send it and you don't get a response that they received it? Yeah. Right. So it's from a legality standpoint, as well as from a ease standpoint, it's complicated. I mean, our world has become much more complicated and litigious, if you will, to make sure that you're following up with things. We had an incident where someone was filing an unemployment claim, and we had video, audio, and text communication that we had to accumulate into, you know, when you're talking to an EEOC person about the unemployment complaint, and you're having to play video and play audio of all of the times that you were counseling them. My Lord, right? It used to just be, look, the guy stole money and he can't work here anymore. And now you got to get audio, video, emails. Did you tell him that he wasn't supposed to steal money? And did you communicate that stealing wasn't necessarily part of your employee practices? And where did you document that? It's become complicated in our new age.
Well, and you know, going back to updating, say, your Facebook and your communication log with your residents and your future prospects, that is time consuming. Because you're taking away from, you know, say, walking the apartment or making cold calls or taking care of the next prospect that's walking through the door.
Sure.
So, you know, I'd say 5 years ago, all we were doing was updating Craigslist all day until, you know, so, and that was a lot easier because we really were only updating one or two things. Well, now it's, you have a page
of things to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we're going to be back with our fourth segment right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
It's so funny, everything you're saying. I'm like...
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen and Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call eConserve today at 713-662-3220 for a free analysis of your property. That's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rossa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rossafloors.com.
Well, we are back with our fourth and final segment of Multifamily Matters, and today we're discussing the topic, effective ways to communicate with your residents and your team. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me in the studio are longtime multifamily industry veterans, Stephanie Graves, co-founder and CEO of Q10 Property Advisors, and Nina Kirtley, Regional Vice President of Operations with American Realty Investors. As a little bonus for our listeners, we've kind of talked about the communication with the residents, communication with teams, but what about vendors, communicating with vendors and communicating with even property owners if you're managing the property for them? What kind of wisdom can we impart upon our listeners about those topics?
With vendors especially, I think there's a struggle between making sure that you're communicating whether you need them or don't need them, or whether they got the bid or don't not have the bid, and then just that general courtesy. I think at any particular moment in time, we all have 150 unread emails in our inbox. You know, during this taping, I'm probably getting at least 100. because it's become so easy to just hit that send button,
right. Sometimes
from a vendor standpoint, I think you get these bulk emails. And so people just delete instead of necessarily responding and letting them know kind of what the status is of things.
And a lot of times, I tell others, and none of us have time to sit here and reply to 150 emails when you're running all over the place, or you have an investor showing, and I always say, and I try to do this myself, always reply to an email within a couple of hours, or at least within, that day, or within a 24-hour period. Even if it's as simple as, I'm busy, I'll get back to you.
Mm-hmm.
But then, that email or that communication, it gets pushed down. But I think if you would just reply to somebody, like a vendor, they're doing their job. And a lot of times you're like, oh, I don't want to talk to that vendor. But that vendor, they're there to service you. And a lot of times if you ignore that vendor, then when you need help, mm-hmm. then the vendor's not going to be there for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think it's very important to communicate with the vendors, just like we do with our team members and also our residents.
And I just realized that we're all going to be in a lot of trouble, Paul, because you said vendor and we have had multiple
supplier partners.
I was thinking, oh my goodness, if they're hearing this, if they're listening, they're turning off the radio right now. Our supplier partners, obviously,
yes,
communicating
absolutely.
With them.
Yeah.
I get calls or emails back that say, wow, I didn't think you'd respond. We entrust our teams and tell our teams that they are required to respond to an email within 24 hours. So even if it's a partner, a supplier partner that wants to know the status of something, or, we try to build those relationships. But again, with the flow of information, it's just so difficult. One of the modern things that I've seen in terms of communicating with owners, we send out owners reports and owners updates and those sort of things. I had one of my owners send me a report that he got from another investment that he had, where someone from the management team, it wasn't multifamily, but it was something, had a report, and they actually were reading the report to them. They had a YouTube channel or some sort of channel where they were reading the report, okay, we had 19 pieces of traffic this month and 7 of them leased. And when I was listening to it, it looked like he was just kind of reading the financial. But that was an interesting way to kind of, they can just stick it maybe in their car when they're driving and go, okay, that was my occupancy, that was my financials. So I thought that was a kind of new and interesting way to be able to deliver something. Another thing I've seen in terms of communication on the supplier partner side, I was at a seminar not too long ago, and the gentleman talked about a siding company that had gone out to people's houses and was installing siding. And one of their platforms was that they tell you what's going on at their house when you're not there. So you have someone come and install siding on your house. This guy goes and does a film of what he's doing at your house every day at a certain time and sends it to you every day at 1 o'clock on, hey, this is what's happening. We've installed the insulation and we've done this on the side. And tomorrow, this is the difference that you'll see in their house. And thanks so much. A little 20 to 30 second update on what's happening on their house. Mm-hmm. And we have started to kind of roll that out in a way where when we do site visits, we film kind of what we're doing if there's something weird or if we're walking an apartment and try to send it. So that we've got, one, some sort of documentation, and so that maybe if your owner's out of town or your investor's out of town, they can kind of see what's happening on the property when they're not there. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we're just in the infancy of doing it because everything takes time.
Sure.
But it's those are different ways that you can communicate to give them more of a hands-on feel to the asset.
And I would imagine that there are things that you could do with that vehicle from the standpoint of if you wanted to get into getting some type of an inexpensive editing program,
yeah,
and you wanted to be able to put title slides in there and mm-hmm. things like that, you could do it as nice as you wanted to, or just be basic raw footage.
Sure.
But I think that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's something that I haven't heard anybody talk about before.
The app that they suggested and that we're using is called Eagle Eye,
mm-hmm.
and it's actually a training platform for golf
oh.
coaches use it,
yeah,
and they film the swing and then they record and you can edit right on the film of what's happening. And so it was like $2.99 in the App Store, and
yeah,
you can film it and literally as it's going right on the video. And so you don't have to even do crazy editing. You can just, you know, it's a filming from a coaching perspective, and we use it for property management, like siding is falling or water's leaking. And it's been real helpful for us.
So with communication with owners, you know, I've had different guests on who do third party management for, different owners in different markets. When you have an asset that's located in your home market, but the owner's located across the country or maybe even in Canada or somewhere else, you've got a different way of communicating with them than you would if there's someone who's headquartered in your backyard.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you try and do to when you've got a long distance ownership to try and make them feel like everything's being done, taken care of? How do you handle that?
I'll say something. Not too long ago, I had a property fire, and you can, you know, contact the owner, let them know what's going on. But I just came across this one day. I was like, a light bulb went off. So now what I went out there and I videoed the building from, you know, one side around to the other so that they could see what the full view is versus a phone call or an email. Because you can email that video or that picture. And so that's always a good way of communicating is with the video. But I like the app that you're
yeah.
talking about.
Yeah, it's real simple.
But, you know, the video, it's giving you more of a, you know, a communication log, the dialogue with the actual happening.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And nowadays I'm seeing where a lot of our suppliers, when we're requesting a bid, instead of just saying, I need a quote on replacing the siding at the back of the office, well, send them a picture of that siding that needs to be replaced.
Mm-hmm.
Send them a video, walk around, just so that they have a full understanding of what is, you know, of what you're wanting. Not too long ago, everything was done in an email. I had three different suppliers come to look at it for us, and every single one that was incorrect, then I had to call them back. But this time I used pictures,
mm-hmm.
and that was very helpful. And now there's been a couple that they are sending pictures of what their quote is going to replace. It has like an old picture, and then it has like what a new picture would look like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's been very helpful.
Yeah, it's, you know, even with our on-site teams, I'll be talking to someone about a struggle they're having, or I'm in here and this is what happened, and I'll say, FaceTime me. Come on, let me see it. And so, you know, they'll be having a struggle with online, or if it's, you know, the answering service isn't working or the IT thing needs to be routed, I'll say, go into the IT room and film it and let me see it. And so, you know, the means of communicating with everyone has become much different. And I think the mm-hmm. expectations from the owners is that you're more progressive in your delivery, is that they get to create, they should be seeing what their asset is, and you should be creating an environment. And I think, one, that's the expectation. And two, as a managing agent, and I say this Like maybe, you know, there's things that we need to change too. You know, I think maybe the bar has been raised in terms of what you should be delivering to your owners. You should be providing a better service because it is a competitive market in everything mm-hmm. we do. And I think delivering a better product and making sure that you are making them feel like they're connected to their asset, because they all talk to each other and someone knows someone. And I heard that you do this, and I heard a horror story about this management company or whatever. I think staying ahead of the game and making sure that you're pushing the level and making them feel involved in the asset, that they're connected, makes them one want to buy more. Maybe, mm-hmm. right? Makes them want to give you more assets, and also makes them feel a little bit more responsible for what is happening on property. So I think it's nothing but good, but yeah. more complicated.
And I also think that it goes back to communication. You're communicating more with your owners, and they're able, like if you're doing the video or an app to where they're actually seeing what's going on, they feel like what you're communicating and what the service that you are providing, that they are getting everything that they were expecting to get from you, mm-hmm. as in your management company.
Sure, yeah. And that you're connected with the asset. You're there, you know what's happening. It's not only, it's a team.
Right.
It's not just a chain. You have three different people in the office giving, you know, relaying a message. And by the time it gets to you, it's not even what the message is.
Yes, right. Yeah, your telephone game. I think residents are using technology and communication in that way as well. You know, they're more likely to send you a video of something happening or a picture of something happening in their apartment, so that you have a better picture of what's happening.
And, yeah. and the other thing is, I've talking with some of the teams, is, you know, a property that say that's an older community and they have a lot of plumbing issues, which that's a lot of times mm-hmm. that's pretty normal. But nowadays what we're doing is we're having the residents send us a video of, say, where the dripping faucet is mm-hmm. under the sink, or send us a video if it's, say, an after-hours call at 12 in the morning. So those type of things are also very helpful.
Yeah, well, we're going to finish up this segment, but I do want to give each of you a chance to let our listeners know, in case they had questions and they wanted to get in touch with you and find out more about what you're doing, and possibly they have properties that they would like to talk to you about. How can they reach you? Do you want to start out, Nina? Or?
Yes. My name is Nina Kirtley, and I'm with American Realty Investors, based here in Houston. I can be reached at nkirtley@aricommunities.com.
Awesome. And I am Stephanie Graves with Q10 Property Advisors. We do training, consulting, and third-party management in and around Texas. My email is stephanie@q10pa.com.
Great. Well, thank you both for coming in. I think it was a great show on communication, and we covered a lot of ground on this. We will be back next Friday and each and every Friday right here on 1110 AM KTEK. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.